Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 17. I want to be your superhero. What's up, internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast, episode 17, recorded on May 28th, 2015, brought to you by RayRay.net. I am Ray Moraldi, aka Ray Ray. So, what's my story? Actually, this is my story with this guest of this podcast. Sometimes I go too far when it comes to making people laugh, and I have noticed it, and I do it on other people's misfortunes or follies, just to make people laugh, and I should stop. And pretty much most people on social media is guilty of that, and I'm no exception. Whether it's an athlete's fall or an athlete flirting, I should leave it alone, because just like you and just like me, athletes are humans too. I definitely wouldn't like it if other people got in my business and picked a private moment of mine to make fun of me. That sucks. What I appreciate about this next guest is that he got on me for it. And he was right. No matter how funny, quote unquote, how funny it is to us, we really shouldn't pick on someone's misfortune just to get a cheap laugh. And I now have a complete new level of respect for a person who gets on me for being an idiot. And I would also hope that other people would get on me for being stupid. And if you're any friend of mine or you care about me, I want you to tell me when I'm being an idiot. This won't be the last mistake I make as a human being. We are human after all. We make mistakes all the time. But I will try my best not to make that particular mistake again. This is probably the worst segue in the world, but that guest that got on me was Dave McMiniman from ESPN. And that's my connection to him, besides being in LA for a few years or so. But Dave has a mean jump shot. He's an excellent reporter. And he has my respect as an excellent human being. So now you can listen to our BS session about the NBA Finals and Entourage and Southern California eating spots. It's fun. Here it is. Scratch. On the line, he covers the Cleveland Cavaliers and basically the entire league on ESPN. An old friend of mine, I guess, kind of, sort of, because we were both in LA for a few years. Dave McMiniman, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, Ray? Good to talk to you.
Let's go over your career really quick. First of all, what a young McTen. Where'd you get that name, by the way, McTen?
I was working for NBA.com, and the head of NBA Entertainment, who's still over there, Paul Hershimer, was, you know, the internet, blogs, this is 2005, so it was established, but it wasn't where it is today. This is 10 years ago.
Right.
So maybe inspired by Bleacher Report, maybe just inspired by things that he was seeing online, Hershimer was like, we got to have top 10 lists. This is where all the rage is. This is where all the clicks are coming from. And I was the lower-level features writer on the staff. And so, Dave, you got to do a top 10 list every week. That's what we want from you. So I played around with some names for the column, the weekly column, and, you know, top 10, McMenamin, put it together, and McTen. There you go.
Awesome. Did you always want to do this when you were younger?
Yeah, for a long time. I guess I first started writing for newspapers when I was 14 years old. And I first really fell in love with basketball when I was about 7 years old. You know, those sparkly Sixers teams. My older sister is a huge Bad Boy Pistons fan. And then I love Jordan as well. So kind of the two things came together at an early age for me. I covered a bunch of sports when I was in high school and college, but always the interest was basketball. So, it's been a pretty fun path that I've got to stay with both of those passions for my career.
Did you play any sports in high school?
I played baseball, and I was terrible. I played my freshman and sophomore years, and I might have had five hits between the two seasons. But I enjoyed it. Being out in the sun, and I lost a lot of my friends on those teams. But yeah, I played basketball ever since fifth grade all the way through college, really. So that's been the only sport that I could make my 6 foot Irish skinny body figure out how to play. So that was.
Did you play on the team?
I did. I played on the team throughout high school, and then went to Syracuse, big time program. My skill set didn't quite make it there, even though I did try out for the team and I made a couple rounds of cuts. I ended up being a manager for the Syracuse basketball team, and I did that, so I was playing basketball every day, sometimes as a full fledged basketball practice player, sometimes just being a guy grabbing rebounds for the players. But then my junior year, I studied abroad in Ireland and played for the University of Limerick, basketball team there. So I got to get a little college basketball experience in too.
You got quite a three-pointer, because I remember in Summer League, I believe it was last year, you made a three-pointer, and I was just walking around, and you were like, hey, did you see that? Did you get that? Like, what? I'm just walking around, but you're quite a three-point shooter.
that's the skill set I was able to teach myself how to do. I think Adam Reisinger of ESPN.com might have gotten somewhere there's a vine of me splashing threes. It exists. Mm-hmm. It's not just talk. I walk the walk.
All right. Well, I guess if you're going to be in Summer League, I'm pretty sure I'll be there. But we'll have a three-point contest of some sort at some point, right?
You want to go up against me?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Gladly. Yeah. All right. Sounds good.
Awesome. How hard was the decision for you to leave L.A. to go to Cleveland? I mean, that's quite a drastic change. You know, you're covering the Lakers, sunshine, great weather, beautiful people. Then you go to Cleveland, where you get to cover LeBron James, but it's Cleveland.
Well, okay. I got to defend my new city. I've been here about 8 months now. There's still beautiful people in Cleveland. So let's dispel that myth. The weather, no, it's not L.A. There's no getting around that. But in this job, I'm on the road about 100 days a year regardless. Mm-hmm. So you can take out, the whole idea of the home city isn't quite a true fact. And then in the off season, you can kind of do what you want with that time to some extent, in August and September in particular. So you add up, there's 60 days between those 2 months, add in the 100 days on the road, it's about 200 days a year where you're going to be in that city. So it's a big change, of course, uprooting. I've been in LA for 6 years, but in terms of my job with ESPN, basically being, even though I'm hired to cover the NBA at large, I've been a beat writer, basically concentrating on one team in particular for the last 5 years. And, when you're doing with the Lakers, it's fantastic when they're going back-to-back championships, or it's fantastic when they're making trades for Steve Nash and Dwight Howard. And you're in the thick of it every day, and the things that you write matter, and people read, and people have incredible interest. But last season in particular, the Lakers go 27-55 and you're there day in, day out, and still trying to write things that matter. But you can't, nothing that you do really matters in the grand scheme of things. In basketball lore and basketball history, everyone will want to forget about that Lakers season. So the chance to go and cover a season like the Cavs were going to have, I assume they would have, when LeBron James came back to Cleveland, it's something like, certainly as someone, again, the two things I'm passionate about are journalism and basketball, to have a chance to be on the ground floor for that story was ultimately what made me feel comfortable and excited about the decision to move out here.
And I'm the same fool that moved from LA to Portland. what have you thought of the NBA playoffs thus far? Disappointing, hasn't it been?
It has a little bit. That first round series between the Clippers and the Spurs was fantastic, and I thought the Cavs-Bulls second-round series that I covered was also really intriguing, and obviously, as we're seeing as we're recording this podcast, had major implications on the future of the league as Tom Thibodeau was let go by the Bulls. But other than that, I'm kind of with you. There's been some moments. There were some fun games between the Pelicans and the Warriors in the first round that I can think about, and some fun games between the Rockets and the Clippers in the second round, but Overall, for having such a fantastic regular season, the playoffs have been a bit of a disappointment, but I don't think anybody could pick a better matchup for the NBA Finals.
Right. Well, we did think it was going to be unpredictable, but in the end, the higher seeds have come out on top. The top two seeds from each conference went to the conference finals. So I thought it was going to be unpredictable, but it came out predictable in a way too.
Yeah. I mean, and again, the NBA season is 82 games for a reason. And for the most part, the cream rises to the crop. It's rare that you see upsets in the playoffs, but you know, it's rare to see like a Knicks team in 99 when the lockout shortened season where an eighth seed goes all the way to the finals. That just doesn't really happen. So I feel like, you know, certainly the Warriors had been the class of the Western Conference all season long, and the Cavs, ever since they made their season, saving trades in January and LeBron James took his time off and got his body right, they've been the best team in the East. So it's only appropriate that this is the NBA Finals matchup.
Mm-hmm. The Warriors have had a dominating season, honestly. Why are we still kind of reluctant to make them finals favorites in a way? Because everyone's saying, oh, San Antonio or maybe the Clippers, but the Warriors won 67 games.
Yeah, I think it's just the lack of experience factor. Even though that Warriors group had some playoff time between them, who can you point to on the roster that's been to the finals, that's been to runs? So I think that was where the reluctance was. And also, again, you mentioned the teams that were maybe considered ahead of them. The San Antonio Spurs, defending NBA champions. The Clippers have a head coach in Doc Rivers who had won a championship before. I think that was where, you know, I don't know if it was necessarily criticism, just that's that maybe where the perception came from, that the Warriors might not quite be ready. But, you know, they clearly proved everybody wrong and looked, you know, the thing about the Warriors in this postseason, when they've had their game on, they've looked unstoppable. But I think they've looked pedestrian at times as well. So I think that's what makes me believe that this will be a very competitive and hard-fought, pretty much even final series, rather than the Cavs or the Warriors having a major advantage or disadvantage.
What were the expectations of the Cavs throughout the season? Because, yeah, once LeBron came back, everything changed. But, I mean, there were still the Bulls, and the Hawks had 60 wins.
Yeah, well, David Blatt in the preseason, just this kind of lets you know what the type of atmosphere and expectation level was for this team. They lost a preseason game, and he goes, well, I guess we're not going to go 90-0. and that was like, it was tongue-in-cheek, but it was also kind of a nod to the level of expectations for this Cavs team being the next super team in the Big Three with LeBron and Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving. And considered a somewhat deep roster at the time. There were major expectations. They went off the road pretty quickly. They went 5-7 out of the gate, 19-20, even an extended slump beyond that. And everything was, question. You know, everything was, will Kyrie and LeBron be able to coexist? Is Kevin Love overrated? Is David Blatt the right type of coach to coach in the NBA? David Griffin, pulls up out his bat phone and gets the Denver Nuggets in on a deal with Timofey Mozgov and gets Phil Jackson in on a deal with Shumpert and J.R. Smith, and everything changes from there. And ever since then, there's been a sense that, yes, this Cavs team is capable of it, but just the way this season has gone, I don't think there's this overwhelming pressure that if they don't perform now in these finals, it's going to be a great failure, because I think they've already been through that. They were already basically called a failure this year by the general public. They realized how hard that is, and they internalized it, and they worked harder, and they came together as a team. And now it's like, well, we don't care about what anything is going to say on the outside. We have a formula for success. If we follow it, we'll feel good about ourselves whenever the finals are over.
Are a lot of people in Cleveland still afraid that LeBron James may leave the Cavs if they don't get it done?
If there are people like that in Cleveland, I haven't met them. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't think. I think just from the outside and understanding just the pragmatic nature of where he is right now, for him to opt out and want to leave to a different situation when obviously he has enough here to get to the finals, get four wins away from a championship, and also he would be considered a you know, monumental hypocrite if you were to say all these right. things about what the region means to him and leave again. I don't think that's a fear for any rational person in Cleveland, at least.
What's the feeling about Kevin Love in Cleveland?
It's a mixed. He is someone who some people feel like he was underutilized, and they blame either LeBron and Kyrie for not making that occur, or they blame David Blatt for not making that occur. And, of course, David Blatt, throughout the course of the regular season, Kevin Love, when he was healthy, there were four games where he was benched in the fourth quarter because Blatt believed they were a better team without Love on the court. You know, and the Love supporters feel like that's ludicrous. There are other people who think that, you know, Kevin might not have totally bought in with what the team was doing. He might not totally have checked his ego at the door and bought into that team mentality and still feeling like, you know, he's someone who deserves touches based on his all-star status when that doesn't really equate to, you know, what the team direction was going in. And based on the way the Cavs have performed against the Bulls in Atlanta since, that say, you know what, if Kevin walks this offseason, you know what, nice knowing you. I think it's a mixed bag. I think certainly the reporters covering the team, we all understand Kevin Love's value, not only just when he's been on the court in the second half of the season, as we're the best team in basketball, and Love deserves some of the credit for that, but also if he walks, the Cavs won't be able to replicate his talent in terms of a piece, because it's not like if he leaves, all that cap space is opened up. They're going to be over the cap regardless. So it's imperative on Cleveland, the way their mentality is we got to re-sign Kevin, because, you know, that's a, you know, top 20 player in the league walking out the door, and we can't do anything to try to replace him otherwise.
Kyrie Irving has been banged up throughout the playoffs. Is he going to be okay after this long break?
I think he'll be better, and just based on what we saw in his comments after Game 4 in Atlanta, he said that ever since he visited Dr. James Andrews in Florida prior to Game 2 of the Eastern Conference Finals, where he came up with a new rehabilitation plan and got on different medicine and got on, basically reevaluated everything he'd been doing up to that point to take care of his left knee tendonitis, that things really changed for him, and he felt more confident in his body in Game 4 against the Hawks with another week of time along that protocol that Dr. Andrews put into place. I think you will see a more effective Kyrie Irving. Well, whether he'd be the guy that scored 55 points against the Blazers or 57 points against the Spurs in regular season, I don't know if you get to that point, but I certainly think he'll be someone that they can count on as being a threat on the court while he's out there.
Do you want to make a prediction right now on the finals, or are you going to say that for ESPN down the line?
Well, you know what? I haven't done it for ESPN yet, so if I had done that, I'd be glad to share it with you, but I guess I'll try to keep my bosses happy in case they want the big reveal. Not that I don't think too many people are really care what my predictions are, especially after I had the Bulls beating the Cavs in the second round.
Oof. But I'll watch out for it. Let's take a break really quick, and when we come back, we'll have the rest of the interview with Dave McMenamin, and we're going to have story time. I know how much you love that.
This is Jamie Nagio from TWC Sportsnet, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
Waiting, watching the clock, it's 4 o'clock, it's got to stop. Tell him, take no more, she practices her speech as he opens. She rolls over, pretends to sleep as he looks her over. She lies and says she's in love with him, can't find a better man. She dreams in color, she dreams in red, can't find a better man. Can't find a better man.
What's up, y'all? This is Sharif, and you're listening to the Ray Ray is Somewhat Fundamental podcast.
Quick bits. What TV show are you watching right now, or at least the latest you've watched?
Oh, okay. I like this. Well, so my show of all shows, Mad Men, went off the air, so I'm still reeling from that a little bit. but, you know, I need some new shows. I mean, I got into Netflix a little bit this year. I went through House of Cards. I went through Orange is the New Black. I'm behind in Game of Thrones. I don't even know. I need something. What do you got for me? What do you want?
I just finished Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Okay.
You want to try that one?
Well, can you
want to try that one?
Give me a little, like, what's the fun one on?
Basically, a girl named Kimmy. Her and her friends got stuck in a bunker for 15 years because of some doomsday cult, and then now that she's been out, she moves to New York to find a new life, basically. And it's all comedy and lots of 90s references, which you know I love.
Yeah, so. That's true. I kind of like that premise. Where can I watch said show?
It's a Netflix.
Oh, it's a Netflix. Okay.
Yeah.
Any notable actors or actresses I would know?
Well, it's created by Tina Fey, I think.
Okay.
So, she'll be there. Jon Hamm should be there. So check that out.
Well, okay. I like that. I've been informed on this podcast.
All right. Song you're listening to at the moment.
Man, you're really exposing me as being a lame person here. I listen to
What are you talking about?
Well, I listen to the same stuff that I always listen to. So, like, I've been listening to a lot. Like, Eddie Vedder was on the second to last David Letterman show. So I've been listening to a lot of Pearl Jam lately, which I always do. You could ask me that question in 1999. I'd have the same answer for you. So I also listen to, like, a lot of bad pop music. Because basically when I'm driving – I either have on like the hit station on, or I have talk radio on. So, like, I guess, like, you know, Sia, or like, I like the Paul McCartney, Kanye West, Rihanna song that came out. I listen to that a lot. 4 or 5 seconds from why I don't even know that's the title of it. Help me out here, Ray. I don't know if you're even aware of it.
No, not really.
Okay, well,
I'm more lame than you are, if that's even.
Okay, well, if that's possible, yeah. Thanks for the compliment. but yeah, that's all I got music wise. Like I enjoy live music, but I don't really have outlets for discovering new bands. I'm more of a kind of stick with what I know, and then if I hear something through the mainstream, like a guest on SNL or something like that, where it will finally penetrate my kind of mind sphere, I'll give it a shot. But that's kind of where I'm
at. Way too, actually. I'm kind of the same way, so you know that already. Did you watch Entourage?
I did watch Entourage. I thought the first couple seasons were awesome, and I thought the last couple seasons were garbage. I'll see the movie, I think, at some point. Actually, the whole cast was just at the Cavs-Hawks game the other day.
Yeah, they were.
And I actually, here's a story for you. When I lived in L.A., I played in this thing called the E-League, which is a bunch of entertainers. E stands for entertainers. So you had, you know, musicians and actors and television writers and agents. And then, you know, someone like myself, like a sports writer. And get together to play basketball and, you know, nice jerseys and all that stuff, you know, sewn numbers and all that, referees, you know, just like a adult rec league, basically, full of, like, notable faces. Like, Chris Brown played in the league the last couple of years, and, you know, who's the guy from Dawson's Creek, James Vanderbeek, guys like that. So, Johnny Alves, who I don't expect you to know him by that name, but he was on my team a couple years back. He is actually the real Johnny Drama. He is Mark Wahlberg's, you know, brother-in-law or cousin or whatever, and the character Drama, Johnny Drama, was based off of. And, like, I know there were, at some point in Entourage, Johnny Drama was obsessed with his calves and wondering if he wanted to get calf implants. Well, the real Johnny Alves, who was on my basketball team, while we were doing our pregame warm-ups and, you know, getting up shots or whatever, he used to come and do all these stretches and stuff like that, and he was fairly particularly proud and concerned with his calves and getting them just in the right form to be ready to play our game. So there's my Entourage clip.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't really know it was a true story. That's awesome.
Yeah. So he's done some projects with Mark Wahlberg. I think when Mark Wahlberg was Invincible, the story of the Eagles football player, Johnny had a bit part in that, and I haven't seen the show Wahlburgers yet, but I think he's a recurring character on that show as well, like the reality TV show about Mark Wahlberg's life. So There's my Entourage connection for you.
Nice. Name me a good place to eat in Southern California when I go back there.
Okay. This I can do. All right. So if you want to go for like a little lunch, you know, just a little cash action. And because this is kind of – I've heard many people complain about this. I'm friends with a lot of East Coasters when I lived in L.A.
Yeah.
That there aren't really a good deli, or there aren't – like you can't get a good sandwich like you could in New York or something like that. But this place bucks that trend. It's called Del Rey Deli. It's in Playa del Rey. They have daily lunch specials. If you just go in and get whatever the sandwich of the day is, you can't go wrong. It's fantastic. I used to follow them on, or I still, here's the thing, it's like torture. I still follow them on Twitter, and daily they put out their sandwich of the day, you know, with a mouth-watering photo, and it's like torture for me that I can't just, you know, drive down the street to pick it up for lunch anymore. So I'll give you that as a, you go to Del Rey Deli for lunch, there's a place on the PCH as you're headed up towards Malibu called Moon Shadows, which is maybe not the best cuisine, but just go there for the atmosphere, nighttime, get a seat on the back deck. They have spotlights that point out towards the ocean, and you can see, you know, dolphins at night, and you got the sea breeze, and you got, you know, maybe order their shrimp cocktail, or they have a ton of good seafood dishes, and really, whenever I had visitors come through L.A., that would be the spot I'd take them to show them, you know, just what it is and why it's so awesome to live in Southern California.
Women in Southern California, if you're listening, I would like to take you to Moon Shadows. Thanks. any burger better than In-N-Out? Well, you're an East Coaster, so I'm pretty sure you're going to give me a lot of them.
Yeah, you know what? In-N-Out, I like. I don't think it's like God's gift. I don't quite get it. out of the burger places that are kind of more trendy in LA, I always was a fan of Father's Office.
Jamie mentioned that in the last podcast.
Oh, is that right? Okay, so
yeah,
so we're on the same boat with that one. Because it just had, and also it's funny, Umami I'd put on the same level as Father's Office because it just has that kind of melt in your mouth appeal, and when you order at Father's Office, at least, like, they don't give you ketchup because it's like, no, you eat it the way we gave it to you because this is the perfection.
Yeah.
So that's the place. And I think they only have maybe two or three stores, and each of them, or at least the one I've been to in Santa Monica, and there's another one that's out towards Culver City, both of them kind of have this cool, like, wooden internal vibe, and it's, you know, bench seating, so you end up sharing seats with, you know, strangers, and which you don't always necessarily do in LA where everything's so exclusive and everything like that. So
yeah,
that's a place I suggest check out.
All right, well, you provided me with a lot today, Dave. I'd like to thank you for coming on to the show. Follow Dave on Twitter at muck10 mcten. Now we know where he got his name. Thanks again, Dave.
Thanks, Ray. Good to talk to you, man.
This is Adam Jacoby, and if you're looking for a morality play, check out Ray Ray is Fundamental.
You're the worst. On the line, back for some more shenanigans with Adam Jacoby. What's up, man?
Not a whole lot, man. I'm excited. A couple minutes ago, I was just told, and really, I should have been told about this days or weeks ago, but I just found out that in a half hour, the premiere of Kung Fury, the crowdsourced, like, GoFundMe or Kickstarter or whatever, that insane karate movie that David Hasselhoff did that insane music video for, that is premiering, like, tonight, really soon, on a network I've never heard of, but I apparently get.
What network is that?
It is the El Rey, like your name, like L-R-E-Y.
I have heard of that.
I'm not kidding. It's a network named literally after you.
I have heard of that network, though. I have heard of it.
See? I would hope so. They named it after you. But anyway.
Yeah, right?
But, like, so, yeah, in 30 minutes on the nose, I get to watch the movie that was basically made for me without me knowing it and without them knowing it. But it's so over the top and ridiculous, and makes no sense, apparently, and that's why I need, like, there's dinosaurs and time travel and arcade machines, keytars, kung fu, lots of kung fu, David Hasselhoff, Viking ladies. I mean, look, if you're not sold, I don't know if we can be friends, you know?
I have a question. Why does neither of us have a David Hasselhoff alert? Like, we should. Because for some reason, I have a Spice Girls alert on Twitter. Like, for you know, people let me know there's something about Spice Girls.
Right, right.
And something about pop music or whatever. Oh, like the No Look Past Us, look at this or whatever.
Right.
But how come we don't have it for David Hasselhoff?
It's not as if I never communicated that I needed to see this movie. I made that abundantly clear when I tweeted the video out about 6 times in rapid succession. So, but like, just in general, like, yes, why don't people already know this just on general principle that these are things that need to be brought to our attention, like, immediately?
Exactly. I don't know. Like, I wished we had some sort of, like, real phone notification about, like, when David Hasselhoff comes on Twitter or whatever announcing Kung Fury or something.
Right,
you know?
Right.
I don't know. It's time now for...
Hi, this is Joanne Piston Fan, and all I want to do is have some pun. You're listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Adam Jacoby's back with another story, aside from that David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, right, right, right. So, you know, I don't know if this is a story or not, per se. I mean, I'm just thinking about things.
Okay.
I've just got a lot of things on my mind right now. Is it okay if I just talk about the things on my mind?
Sure.
Oh, all right. Well, so, like, okay. I live on in a college town, on a college campus. And it's, right now, it's summer on a college campus. And, you know, like, in a college town. And that's just, like, the best thing of all time. And one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons is that in the summertime in a college town, there is no shortage of young women who, you know, have to dress for the summer, which means not a whole lot of clothes. And that's great. You know, more power to them. I don't mean this in, like, a, like, lecherous or lascivious way. Like, how a woman dresses doesn't really affect my opinion of her or value or this or that. You know, just dress however you want, that's fine. But if you want to dress in a way that shows off a lot of leg, I'm for it. And so I, you know, I just think about, in the most particular sense, like, you know, when the shorts, you know, they're not very long, and you see, not, you don't see the butt, but you see the side part of the leg up there, way up there. And that's, yeah. I think that's pretty attractive, personally. So that...
Right now, I'm nodding vigorously. You can't see it, but I'm nodding vigorously. Right,
right. Right. It's just this, it's a nice little gesture, for those of us who enjoy that sort of thing. So yeah, that's a thing that I really like. That's the, I guess, the side butt, we'll call that, for lack of a better term. And, you know, also the NBA finals are starting, and, there are a lot of players on each team, you know, on both of the teams that have just these amazing jump shots. You know, you think about obviously Steph Curry, the reigning MVP, LeBron James, the reigning best player in the world, J.R. Smith, Klay Thompson, you know, just all these guys with really beautiful, deadly jump shots. And just jump shots in general. I think they're really fun. I like doing them at the blacktop, the playground hoops.
Yes.
You know, it's a fun artistic, or at the very least aesthetically pleasing way to do the sport. So, you know, that's another thing I've got on my mind, and a thing that I like. And you know, I'm sort of getting into this, like, 60s music revival, like that. The music style itself isn't being really revived necessarily, but I'm listening to it a lot more. So Grateful Dead, specifically, like Jerry Garcia. I love the work that he does. Especially the older stuff when it was, you know, I guess trippy's not necessarily the right word, but you know, all the stuff that he was doing in the '60s. And to that end also, Janis Joplin. Big fan of Janis Joplin, personally. A great, talented artist, gone too soon. But, you know, everything that she stood for and really brought out in her music, I think is, you know, she was just a really singular talent, and I enjoy her music a lot. I'm also, let's see, I like numbers. I'm doing some work with some more advanced math, and so, you know, there's exponents and this and that. And so one of the answers to one of the math problems I assumed very recently was the cube root of 8. And that's been, like, for whatever reason, that's really just stuck with me the whole time.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and then, like, okay, I mentioned the, you know, the old 60s music, but at the same time, I also like the new stuff, too, especially the newer, like, more popular rap music. I know it's a very disparate thing, but you know, Drake's new tape was great. Kendrick Lamar's new album, amazing. ASAP Rocky, you know, all the stuff that all the kids are playing, I'm playing too. You know, it's fun and exciting and cool and great to see really a resurgence for a rap genre that seemed like it was sort of getting stale, I want to say, especially like 5 years ago or so, that 5 to 10 year ago range. It's making a comeback, and it's on the shoulders of the new popular stuff. So I really have been enjoying that immensely. And finally, one thing that I really enjoy and want involves you, and I want Ray Ray's Fundamental to be made and enjoyed and listened to basically forever, that you do this for as long as you want. So those are the things on my mind.
I appreciate
it. We've got the side butt, and we've got the jump shots, Jerry Garcia, Janis Joplin, the cube root of 8, Drake, Kendrick Lamar, and all of them, and you doing this podcast forever. So do you know what I just said there?
A lot of things.
You know specifically what I said? I said a hip hop, the hippie to the hip hop, you don't stop.
Oh my God.
Get
bucket.
Ah. Bang boogie, set up, jump the boogie to the rhythm of the boogie to beat. Now what you hear is...
Well, that was fun. Thank you for listening to Storytime with Adam Jacoby.
Just when I thought that you could not top yourself. My goodness. I always want to say every episode I want to fire you, but I just can't.
You can't quit me. I'm very good at storytelling.
You are very good at storytime.com. Yeah, well, hopefully we can get to do these Storytime of Adam Jacoby segments forever.
Forever.
Thanks so much, Adam.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
Hey there, folks. It's your girl, Jackie Mesa Pepper from PepperOnSports.com, and you're listening to the Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast.
Thank you to Dave McMenamin from ESPN for doing this show. I am so humbled that he went out of his way to do this podcast, even though I know he's got much better things to do. Follow him on Twitter at McTen, McTen, and you can find his NBA work at the worldwide leader, ESPN. And Adam Jacoby, as always, thanks for telling us an excellent story. Anyway, we have about 3 episodes this coming week for the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast. At least that is what's slated, and I hope that no one cancels on me. So please, please don't cancel on me. Anyway, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, and you can also download the show at rayray.net, and you can find the show on Stitcher. Follow the show on Twitter at rayrayisfun, because I could not fit rayrayisfundamental in the handle. You're only allowed 16 characters for your name. And you can also follow my personal account at thenolookpast. Gal Pal Squad, thank you so much for taking care of me. Everyone, thank you so much for going out of your way to listen to this poor show. Portland, I love you. Southern California, I love you. And just remember, Ray Ray is fundamental, and you don't need a library card to check me out. Until the next episode, party people.
Carl Odom's got great calves, huh? What, he doesn't?
Hey, Lamar, what's up? I want to ask you, what do you do for your legs, man?
What?
How do you get them looking so good?
Vince, man, your brother's a freak, man. Later, man. See you, y'all.
Game over, yeah! Molded.